Okay, let's start from page Ayin Dav here. Really, we're up to Halacha Yud Gimel on page Ayin Hey, but I want to go back into some Shi'arim in Mitzion Mehalacha. Okay, so let's go back to page Ayin Dalid. It's on page Ayin Dalid on the bottom in the section of the Shi'arim in Mitzion Mehalacha, Halacha Vav, Kumo B'chol. So it says this Halacha is referring to the Halacha that the minig is to get up late on Shabbos. Not to get up late, but to daven. Shabbos ain't mashkim kol kach level beis haknesses. We come a little bit later to beis haknesses on Shabbos. We just discussed the halach. I'm b'shelus yavetz. That's not our custom. Shloim av hurachum b'psuk the zimra b'chaydu v'chavod v'valutzin. Not to say v'hurachum. That pasuk should be skipped. We'll take a step back. Friday night, when you start Ma'ariv, Baruch Hu Es Hashem Hamavarachti. Before you say Baruch Hu Friday night, do we say V'hu Rachum Yichaper Avon V'lo Yashchis?
Yes.
No, we don't. Friday night. Why not? Isn't that part of the Nusach HaTfilah that say V'hu Rachum Yichaper Avon? Before you daven, you have to confess. The answer is that on Shabbos you don't say Vidui. Shabbos not the time to say Vidui. There's no. A person would become sad. A person would reflect on Shabbos, all of his sins. He would sink into a deep depression, and that would deny him the ability to enjoy Shabbos. On Shabbos, we do not recite vidui. That's why we don't say v'hu rachum yichaper avon. V'lo yashchis v'herbo le'ashir po yitzchak HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remove its anger. V'lo yashchis v'herbo le'ashir po v'lo yo'ir, do not pour out kol chamaso. If you really reflect upon these words, it can bring a person to a very deep state of depression. For that matter, we should not say this pasuk v'hu rachum not during psukei de zimra. Psuk de zimra, we say v'hu rachum. How many times? I don't remember what time we say it, but you say it a few times. You say them psuk de zimra, and you say it v'volot zion on Shabbos mincha. So we do say v'hu rachum in psuk de zimra. So in Nechlam, he brings down the custom that anything that has any resemblance to vidu should not be said in nusach atfil on Shabbos. Again, it's not our custom, but that's what it says in the Shelas Yavetz of Yaakov Emdin. He says that you should not say it. Now, for that reason, we do follow this directive to some degree. At least we don't say before we say Baruch Hu and Korbanos. Most people do not say the Yehi Ratzons. You don't say anything that resembles Vidui in Korbanos. Normally, Korbanos you say as if I did an Avera, for which I'm Chayav Korban Chatos. It should be considered. It should be a Korban Chatos. Neshal Mofodim Sifaseinu. It says most of them that on Shabbos we omit these expressions. Exactly. So it's not for whatever reason. It's not our custom. For whatever reason, when it comes to Psuki de Zimra, I don't know why we do say it. Maybe it's just too confusing.
Yeah.
It's too. Yeah. That's a request. There are two different things. There's making a request, and they're saying vidui, confessing your sins. So in Birchas HaShachar, that's just a request. There's nothing technically wrong with making a request on Shabbos. It's just not Shabbos stick to make a request. Chazal really held that we should say all 18 brachas in the Shemon Esrei. Tircha de Tzibura, it's a tircha, so on Shabbos they were lenient. But there's nothing technically wrong with making a request. So things which are part of the Nesach HaTzvila, we do make a request. We do make. We mvakash for a chayla, that Hashem should send a full shlema. We do make.
Ace
Lassus. Ace Lassus, not a deck. Alright, so we need to draw. Everything is Ace Lassus. You need a lot of things. Okay, I don't know the answer. But Vidui is a different madrega, and that we don't do except for Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, of course, we say Vidui. That's a whole different story.
You say anytime, Yerushem Yot Kuchavar Chavit, before Tefillat Shavit,
Minchot, yeah.
You say
L'shem Yichud, that's a whole different discussion. That's the difference between the Sechsfar and the Sechashim. That's a different discussion. That some do and some don't. That's some do and some don't. What do? You say?
We say.
Okay, Ashkenaz also. Some things they say. Let's go next. Ayin b'shari tshuva. Shehevi g'shigasham sheminag yishlam shu minag hadi. Tevsik de zirma yei shloimar hurachum. V'chin kasa b'shut tzvi tzeres v'shut minchas alozar. And that indeed is our nusach atzvila. Okay, there's a lot of next Zayin Miyad Achar Tefillah Shachris. It says here that the Zman Tefillah Smusav, this we learned yesterday, the Zman Tefillah Smusav is right after Shachris. Ayin Bevirka Yosef B'Shem Rabbeinu Yitzchok Nun geos the ein resham lun vayd ben tefilas yoytzel tefilas musaf. The person should not learn between shachris and musaf. It's forbidden to be mafsik. A person should not learn Torah in between. Once the zman musaf arrives, that's the zman. V'shaken kosaf hatashpeitz avamuta ludrosh kodim the musaf ayin sham to sit down for the tzibur to sit down have a seder of learning. That's not right because once they get involved in learning, they may come to forget and will not daven musaf. But for the rabbi to die. That is not a learning barabim. That is inspiration. The drasha is a hachana for musaf. It's a hachana for musaf. That's mutter. The adonai ben rabbeinu migur zatzal hine gibein achasidim lulmoy ben shachas the musaf. He disagrees. He holds that not everyone agrees with this concept. And in fact, that's very famous to me. The migur. They learn for an hour. For half an hour. In the Gerbe says they learn for an hour. They learn for an hour. So he brings down the Nechalami. Not everyone agrees with this custom, and he felt that this is the proper thing to do, to have a hefsik between, they do before Kriyas HaTorah, right? Before Kriyas HaTorah? Before Kriyas HaTorah, they have a seder of learning. Okay, one thing is a sure, one thing, learning is not so simple. So Alachas Kamakama, doing things that are not proper, that should not be having a breaks to do things which are, you know, things get out of hand, that for sure is not right. Okay, so this we discussed once had a discussion. What about how are you allowed to have a drasha after you put away the Sefer Torah and you already said Ashrei. Before you put away the Sefer Torah, you said Ashrei. You put away the Sefer Torah, and now you have a drasha. So there's a hefsek between Ashrei and the Chatzi Kaddish. The Chatzi Kaddish, the Musaf. Kol Hashem, the Mutter, it's Mutter. Why? The mitzvah is ein mevaloi zo is zo. Since speaking darshning, saying over Dvar Torah is a mitzvah, one mitzvah does not mevatel another mitzvah. It's not considered to be a hefsek. V'yayim b'shur Torah segikusil, shahivi raya lemin gizem mishas, Rav Avya cholash, he was ill, v'osu l'pirko, Rav Yosef did not become to the base medrash. He darshan before Musaf. And after the drasha, they came to his house for the drasha. And after the drasha, they went to the Beis HaKnesses to daven. So this seems to indicate that you're allowed to have a drasha. You see here that you're allowed to have a drasha between Shachris and Musaf. Now he's not saying exactly. I don't know exactly the Raya is Ayin Shom. I don't know exactly what the Raya is because maybe the case was where they didn't say Ashrei. Here's question was, Ashrei is the beginning of Musaf. You have Ashrei, Chatzi Kaddish, or in this case you put it with the Sefer Torah, Chatzi Kaddish, and then you have Musaf. So I don't know what the story there was, but he seems to say you do find some indication that there was a drasha before the Daven Musaf. Seemingly he says, we have to assume, there was a hefsek between Ashrei, the drasha was between Ashrei and the Chatzi Kaddish. Ayin b'shut levush Mordechai b'inyin she Beis Hamedrash Echad, Hayroitzim Lushana Sid Hatfila, Luspal Shachris, Umusuf Biyachad, Beloy Kriyas HaTorah, Viachar Hasuda, Yiskabs Lushmoy Kriyas HaTorah, Behevi Shom Rai Meheshas, the Hilal Tzorch, the Halil Tzorch Loima B'Shachris, Halil must be said B'Shachris, the Kiyas Shefer B'Musuf, Maat Haima, the Shas Gezerah Have, Ayin Sham, Mashma, the Mitzad Hadin Gam Shefer Hayitzorch, Lutkoy B'Shachris, Mishum Dizrizim Makdimim, therefore, if Nakmo, you see the Mikra, the only reason why we blow shov by Musaf was because Gzeres Hashmat, because since the goyim would come around, they would not let us blow shofar, and they did not know that we were going to daven Musaf, so they only came to inspect the batek and they see us during Shachris. So that's why they only came to inspect the batek and they see us for Shachris. So that's why we delayed the blowing shofar until Musaf. But from that moment, we learned that the primary zman to blow shofar would have been Shachris. So let's look at the imkin who are hakinami kriya satara ein litchoyt sol yachem musaf. So too, he wants to say the same thing. The kriya satara was meant to be said by shachas. The ikar zman, the kriya satara is part of tefillah. So it should be said with the first tefillah, just like me ikar hadin shofar should be blown during the first tefillah. Likewise, if there's a takana to read the Torah, it should be part of the first tefillah, the tefillah of Shachris. So it's not proper to change the Seder, Shachris, Musaf, and to later have Kriyas HaTorah. Uve Shari, Uve, I'm not sure what that stands for. We had this discussion. I told that that in Slobodka they used on Simchas Torah they would have hakafas for during Mincha. It's a long day. They would have in Shachris, they would have in Musaf, and then they would go home. They would come back from Mincha, and they would have the hakafas as part of Mincha. So they're delaying Kriyas HaTorah until Mincha. Are you allowed to do that? So here he's presenting exactly this whole shaila, and he's telling us that in Echlami it should not be done, but B'Shas HaTchach it can be done.
They didn't like it.
It so seems they not. That's what I don't know anything firsthand. All I know is in Chaim Berlin.
They don't like it.
No, they do nothing. Chaim Berlin, they daven Shachris.
Right.
And after Shachris is over, they say Kaddish Shalem. And then they sing Kokeli. Who sings Kokeli and Simchas Torah? I don't know. I never heard a shul sing Kokeli and Simchas Torah. But they sing Kokeli. And then they daven Ashrei and the Musaf. Chatzik Asher Musaf. No Kriyas HaTorah, no Hakafah, zero zilch. Everyone goes home, makes Kiddush, eats. They come back from Mincha. Mincha they do it also a very strange way. They Ashrei, Chatzik Hadish, Shmona Esrei, and after Shmona Esrei is over, after Chazor Sashat is over, then they do Atoharesa. Atoharesa. No, I'm sorry. They do the Kriyas HaTorah. They do Ashrei, Chatzik Hadish. The Kriyas HaTorah is before. The Kriyas HaTorah is after. They daven the Shtil Shmona Esrei, Chazor Sashatz, and after Chazor Sashatz, then they lane. Very strange. Even if you want to lane, you lane during, you lane before. Before like the Shabbos Mincha, no, they lane. If I'm not mistaken, I haven't been there in so many years. Maybe. Maybe I don't remember correctly, but you have to lean also before this man is over. Maybe I'm making mistakes. Maybe they lean before. I really don't remember anymore. I haven't been there who knows how long. But Hakafas is certainly the very end. And Hakafas goes until the very end of the day. And then there's laning. So they're the laning, one thing is for sure, the laning is not being done with Shachris or with Musaf. The laning is being done in the afternoon. And all the years I remember hearing that this is a very questionable practice. How are you allowed to be oiker the Kriyas HaTorah from its place of Shachris to Mincha? So the answer they give is that this is nothing new. This was done in Slobodka. Rav Hutner was a Talmud of Slobodka, and when he made the Minhagim in the Yeshiva, he came to Chaim Berlin later. The Chaim Berlin existed before Rabbi Hutner. He was 26 years old when he came to Chaim Berlin, Rabbi Hutner. He used to teach in RJJ. Yeah. Rav Hutner was a Rebbe. He came to America. He was probably 25 years old. He was a Rebbe in RJJ. He was a Rebbe, and he wanted to take over. He wanted to make, I think, a Beis Medrash. RJJ was just, at that point, a high school, elementary school, and I think also it was a high school. He wanted to have some advanced Torah scholarship, Talmudic scholarship, and RJJ said, we're not ready for this, we're not interested. So he went to Chaim Berlin, because Chaim Berlin, it seemed a very weak yeshiva. They were looking for someone to come and do innovation.
What year was this? 36.
I don't know. I knew someone who's no longer living, this person. He told me that he was in the yeshiva when Rabbi Hutner came. He was there before. In other words, he was in Chaim Berlin when he was in 10th grade. He was in Chaim Berlin in 9th grade, 10th grade, and there was no Rabbi Hutner. When he was in 11th grade, Rabbi Hutner came. And he was his Rebbe. I guess he was the 11th grade Rebbe. And he said every year for Hutner he wore a different color suit. One day he came in a white suit. And the next day he came in a green suit. And he said, I can't repeat on tape all the things he said to Hutner. He described him. And he said he loved him. This person is very interesting. I was surprised because he was a very critical person. He had nothing good to say about anyone or anything. And he spoke very favorably. He said some very beautiful things about Rabbi Hutner. And he said he really loved him. And he says he was only 26 years old at that time, Rabbi Hutner. He was his 11th grade Rebbe. And he said he was so powerful. He was so dominant. He remembers how he sat there and he taught, gave the shiurim, and he controlled the Talmidim's minds. Tremendous talent. And he didn't have a beard. Did he have a beard?
Not in the beginning, no.
He didn't have a beard. Yeah, he didn't have a beard.
They don't exist anymore.
But they don't all together. And then he left. He graduated. He was the 11th grade, 12th grade. He graduated Chaim Berlin. And he went on his merry way. He had nothing to do with Chaim. Chaim was a very small yeshiva for many, many years. He went on his merry way. He had nothing to do with Chaim Berlin for many, many years. Many years later, one of his relatives was honored by a Chaim Berlin dinner. Was receiving an award. So he had no choice. He had to come to the Chaim Berlin dinner. So he comes to the Chaim Berlin dinner. And who does he see on the dais? He sees Rabbi Chutner. And he's wearing a black frock, big beard, big up hat, pious. You know what the pictures look like of Rabbi Chutner. So he goes over to him and he says to him, Rabbi Chutner, do you remember me? I remember you when you were 26 years old. You were my 10th grade Rebbe. I was in the yeshiva before you came to Chaim Berlin. I remember you. You came with a white suit, a green suit. You had no beard. And now I come into this dinner. What so he said? He told me. He said to him, Rabbi Chutner, what happened to you? This is what he said. What happened to you? So it's even more shocking what he said. So Rabbi Chutner said to him, nothing happened to me. I'm the same person I was then. And as far as my dress and the way I look, times have changed. I'm the same. It's times have changed, so I dress the part. I dress the part. It's a very interesting story. I don't believe the story is true because it's not only the times that he changed. I think there's a lot of
He put on the spudic and later.
That was even later. That was later after the hijacking. After they I don't know all these things. I just want a little second. I don't think these things are all true. But after the hijacking, he changed quite a bit. His whole hashkafa. That's what they say. At least I don't know if it's true, not true, but. He, from what they say about him is that he was always in a state of change. He evolved over the years, his Ashkafas, Talmidim, like all great people. They say about Rav Soloveitchik as well. They say the Soloveitchik of the 60s was not the Soloveitchik of the 70s, and was not the Soloveitchik of the 80s and the 90s. Every kufa, every decade, he was a different person. Rav Kefet says this. Rav Kefet on his tape says that he quotes certain Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik. They were Talmidim in the 70s, they were Talmidim in the 80s, in the 90s. And Rav Soloveitchik was different. He was different. Each kufa, he was a different person. All great people are different, have very complex lives. So you can't, but this is just.
I permit to say, but it doesn't sound very good. They adapt to the culture to the times.
No, I don't believe that. They influence the times. They influence the times. These people, I mean, we were living in, it was a different world. We can't have any hasaga. It was a different world. It was a different world. It was a much smaller world.
When I went to tell it was a much none of the Rosh Hashiva had pays for 90 years. But look now, they all have pays.
It was a much smaller world. Everyone knew each other. It wasn't today. It's a much more complicated world. Okay, but he does present this issue. He talks about this, and it's not a simple matter. Some small shuls they struggle. Everyone struggles with this. Every shul struggles how to conduct themselves on Simchas Torah. Hakafis, laning, depends on the size of the shul. A kiddush, it's not so silly to have a kiddush, right? You want to eat. Are you allowed to make a kiddush before Kriya Satara? I always grew up in the Young Israel where I always assume it's osur to eat the kiddush until you get your aliyah.
Yeah.
Right? You daven shachris, there hakafis. After hakafis, there's the aliyah. So first hakafis, and then after you get your aliyah, then you can go make kiddush. Until you get your aliyah, you're not allowed. It's also to make kiddush. Who says? Where does it say that? You're not allowed. That's just convention. That's just the way they do it in the shul. Is there such is something to it? Not something to it? I don't know. There's a halacha that the chiyuv kiddush does not begin, if I'm not mistaken, until musaf. In other words, in ger, right? In ger, do they make kiddush before? Would they have a break? So I'm not sure what I'm saying is correct, but in Ger they have a minute to learn after Shachris before Kriya Sator. They daven Shachris, Kaddish to Skabel, and they sit down and learn for an hour. During that hour, are you allowed to take a cup of coffee without Kiddush? Are you allowed to take a piece of cake? So if I'm not mistaken, you are allowed. The chiyuv of making Kiddush first begins either after Musaf or after Kriyas HaTorah. It's a very strange thing. Or maybe at least drinking, just like you're allowed to drink. We all know that you're allowed to drink before you daven. Like Sechel al Adam, you're allowed to drink. But after you finish, after davening is over, you come home from shul, you finish musaf, you're not allowed to drink, you're not allowed to take a cup of coffee until you make Kiddush. When does that obligation, when does that transition take effect, the difference between the transition of you now must hear Kiddush before you can take a drink, does that take effect after you daven shachris, or after Kriyas HaTorah, or after Musaf? If I'm not mistaken, it's after Kriyas HaTorah, after Musaf. And that's why in Ger, even after they daven shachris, they're learning for that 1 hour, they drink coffee. Because there's no chiyuv, you're allowed to drink. There's no chiyuv kiddush until after you daven musaf or after you kriya star, something along those lines. I don't know exact details. So all of these things are very interesting. That we're used to one set thing, but when you have to know one all the exact details, then everything obviously changes. Okay, let's see one more paragraph. Different minhagim. There are different minhagim. Some. Right, that's a matter of minhag. That's a very big issue. L'soichel al hadam. It's the time of blowing shofar is the ultimate din. So how can a person eat before shofar? There's also halacha that once the mitzvah, the halachic issue, there's a hashkaf issue. It's not right. And then there's a halacha issue. Are you even allowed to eat before you have a mitzvah? There's a mitzvah in front of you to do. What gives you the right to eat before you do the mitzvah? Ein ma'arid ala mitzvahs. There are certain rules. So there's a halachic issue, a hashkafic issue, and then there's a practical issue. If you're not going to eat, you're not going to be able to daven. So you should daven without eating? You're not going to be able to concentrate. The whole purpose of Rosh Hashanah is to eat. So how do you balance these three inyanim? Hashkafa, halacha, and what is practical to do. A fast, you know, not have a time. It's a Rosh Hashanah, it's a Yom Tov. Saying that's also a halachic issue, another halachic issue. So you have all of these different things to balance. So what do you do? Everyone is different. Every shul, every community has a different custom how to balance all of the issues. Let's take a look at this next paragraph. Ayin b'shut levushim Mordechai I ruya yosel l'spalul v'ashkama shachmas b'bnei kriyashma b'zmanoi v'litoim koidem musuf and eat before musuf. Or to daven together with its choice is going to be you're going to daven shacharis very early, and then the advantage is you'll say kriyashma bizman with the brachos. But the disadvantage is if you're going to be in this situation, you're not going to be able to control yourself. You're going to get very tired and weak. You're going to end up eating. You're going to have to make kiddush before you recite musaf, because the daven musaf minyan will be at a later point in time. You can be dealing with a certain circumstance. Ulak or. Maybe the better thing is that you should daven, you should wake up later and daven the later minyan, and the disadvantage will be that you're going to say kriyashma after the zman. You'll say kriyashma privately before the zman, but you're not going to say kriyashma with the brachos during the zman. And but then the advantage will then be that you're not going to eat until later on, until after musaf. It all depends. You can't generalize. Every situation is different. He held that you can eat before Musaf. It seems like you're eating without Kiddush. It's a question. Are you allowed to eat without Kiddush before Musaf? At least don't eat a full Suda. Maybe I'm not sure. Maybe it means with Kiddush. I'm not sure about that. We have to come later on. We'll come to the Suda later on about Kiddush. What are the exact rules for Kiddush, but here it is discussing even if you're going to eat Kiddush, it's not right to have Kiddush before Musaf. What about all of the Kiddush clubs? All the Kiddush clubs are having Kiddush before Musaf. There are many, many problems with that. And And he goes over here, a person at least should not have a full meal before Musaf. Ayin Sifkat Sha'achazeh. Okay, so we'll see. Let's go to the next halacha Yud Gimel. Now, one thing I left out from yesterday. We learned yesterday that if a person is ready in the afternoon, it's important you said, I forgot to mention yesterday. If it's already the afternoon, we learned that a person has davening b'chidus, and now he has a choice of davening Mincha or Musaf. Mincha comes first. Why does Mincha come first? Tadir, v'she'ene tadir, tadir kodem. But if you're davening with a tzibur, if you're davening, let's say the entire tzibur did not yet daven musaf and mincha, then the rule is you still daven musaf first and not mincha. Why? Why should a tzibur be different? The Mishnah Berurah says the reason, because people are going to make them, they're going to learn from this, they're going to make a mistake in the future. They're going to think that once you daven musaf, you can no longer daven. Once you daven mincha, if the tzibur is going to daven mincha first, people will make a mistake and think you can daven mincha before the zman. People will make a mistake. There are different types of mistakes people will make, but it's a very bad example for people to observe the tzibur to do something out of order. Okay, a yachid is so it's a one-time deal. So he does it out of order. He'll daven mincha first, and then he'll daven musaf. But if the tzibur is going to daven mincha first, and then daven musaf, that will set a bad example. People are going, this is something that's done in public. The entire tzibur is changing the order. And this in the future may lead to terrible mistakes. It may lead to davening mincha before the zman, or something along those lines, and that will be a very big problem, and that's why for the tzibur you don't follow this rule. The tzibur davens musa first, and then davens mincha, not to cause a michshol in the future. Now we go to halacha yud gimel. Halacha yud gimel, b'kedusha de musaf, sha'aymim shema yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. U'miyad oymim hakahol echad hu Elokeinu. That's not the common nusach. Is it nusach svard? I don't think so, right? What do we say? We say Nusach Ashkenaz, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hu Elokeinu Hu Avinu. We say Hu. However, there are some Nuschos that say Echad Hu Elokeinu. Echad Hu Avinu. They add the word Echad. Before you say Hu Elokeinu, they add the word Echad. Now, if you add the word Echad, it comes out that you say the word Echad twice. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Echad Hu Elokeinu. You say the word Echad Echad twice. If you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad Echad, Harei Zu Megune. Because it looks like you're being makabel more than one God. There are two gods. It's not the same. It's Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Kama, pause. You have to pause. Echad Hu Elokeinu, if you have the Nusach. But if you're not careful, and you recite it very quickly, it sounds like Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad Echad. Which is apikursis, only one God, there are not two gods. So what should you do? You should be very careful to pause before you say the second echad. Bekdusha de Musaf, Shem Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Umiyad Oymim HaKohol Echad Elokeinu Hu Tos. So he says, this Nusach is wrong, at least according to the Kitzur. Some place can bring it, it's okay, just be careful. Ki Osu Loymar Tevas Echad Shnei Pamim Bitzufim, Eloyoymar Hashem Echad Hu Elokeinu, you say Hashem Echad, period. Hu Elokeinu, like what we do. Acha Shlich Tzibur, the Shlich Tzibur Shuhu Mamtin Al HaTzibur, who waits for the Tzibur to say Shema Yisrael Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Yochuhu Lahaskel B'teva Echad Kevan Shehifsik Beintayim, because the Shlich Tzibur does not start with Shema Yisrael, the Shlich Tzibur starts with Echad. That's not always true. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah advises that whenever you say Kedusha, the Shlich Tzibur should say the entire Kedusha, in order to be Moitzi, the people that are still in the middle of Shema Esrei, right? When you say Kadosh during the week, and you look in the article considered there, those little three dots where the Shliach Tzibur starts from. Lumasam Shabachim V'Yomrim, Lumasam Baruch Yomeru. So that's all technically the Shliach Tzibur has to say. However, it's advisable for the Shliach Tzibur to repeat Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzivakos, and Baruch Kavod Hashem Imakamo, because there are people in the audience that are not able to say those words because they're in the middle of Shmona Esrei, and the only way they can fulfill their obligation to recite the word words Kadosh, 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 or the words Baruch Kivot, or the words Yimlech Hashem Li'olam, is if they listen to someone say it on their behalf, and Ayotze with Shemea Ko'ine. So it is advisable for the Shliach Tzibur to recite out loud, to wait until the Tzibur finishes saying the entire section that they say, and then for the Shliach Tzibur to start from the very beginning. And to the people in the audience, those who are near our middle can listen. If that's true when it comes to Kadosh, Kadosh, and Baruch Kavod and Yimloch, it's also true for Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So this, the Kitzur says, the Shliach Tzibur does not start with Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, is only the Iker Hadin. And he only begins with starting Hu Elokeinu, Hu Avinu. There is no repetition of the word Echad Echad, because he's not going to say those words. But if you're following the custom, which is advised by the Mishnah Berurah, to say the word of the Kedusha from the very beginning, then you indeed will have the same problem. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad Echad. You're going to be saying Echad Echad twice, so you have to pause, or according to the Kitzur, you have to change the Girsa. Don't say Echad Elokeinu, just say Hu Elokeinu. And that I saw in the article, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, it says, he brings down from the Magen Avraham, that no, it's not so terrible. There are valid Nuschos which do indeed say Echad Hu Elokeinu. Just be careful to pause before you say, after you say Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Okay, now we come to the next halacha.
Which nusach?
I'm not sure which nusach. Maybe it's nusach Ari. I don't know which nusach it is. You have to go take out all the sidurim and look at all the nuschos. Plenty of nuschos. Halacha Yudal b'mincha akaidem kriyas haTorah oimrim vanis sefilosi. This is mincha. Shabbos Mincha, we say this pasuk Vanis Sefilosi. Why do we say Vanis Sefilosi? There are many reasons. The Kitzur gives us one reason. It's because we've just, very interesting reason, because we've just spent the entire day eating and drinking. On a regular afternoon, you're working, you're too busy to get into trouble. You're too busy, when it comes time for Mincha, what have you been doing until now? It's time for Mincha, whether you daf Mincha Gedola, or you daf Mincha at 8 o'clock, what have you been doing the whole afternoon or the whole morning? You're busy. You're in Kailo. You're working. You're doing things. You're active. So when you daven mincha, you get daven mincha. But on Shabbos, when you come to mincha, before you walk into shul, the rabbi can say to you, what have you been doing until now? From the time you left shul the Shabbos morning until now, what have you been doing? And what do you say? I've been eating and drinking. Eating and drinking? That's not a Torah thing to do, to eat and drink. You were drinking wine, having a good meal. This can cause trouble. So what you do is, that's what the goyim do on Saturday. They go to the bar. They eat and they drink. So therefore you have to say, va'ani, our eating and drinking did not result in falling asleep and wasting the rest day. When a guy goes to the bar and eats and drinks, what happens? He falls asleep and he wastes the remainder of the day. But we, after we eat and drink, we come to Shul and say, Va'ani, I, meaning Klal Yisrael. David said this for himself, but David was really personifying Klal Yisrael. Va'ani, Sefilosi Lecha Hashem Yisrael. I use the food and drink that I've consumed during the day as a means to come and strengthen myself to pray to you with greater intensity. So that's why we say this pasuk. It's a rejection of the conduct of the Umos Sa'olam. Our eating and drinking do not result in bad behavior. You hear this many times, that when non-Jews go to a Jewish wedding, sometimes at a Jewish wedding they have a bar. Okay, probably today it's less and less common, but it used to be, you go at every Jewish wedding, there's a bar, they serve wine and liquor, whatever you want. There ain't sheer. And you look around, there are people, of course, that get carried away, there are always alcoholics, but ruba de ruba, people don't drink that much. They take maybe a little bit. It's not an issue. And when a non-Jew comes, you have a worker, a co-worker, and you invite some non-Jews, and they come to the wedding, and they see there's a bar. I've heard this many times. They're shocked. Open bar. They're like, what? Open bar for all these people? Do you know if this was an open bar among just my family, my family and friends? Do you know what would be going on over here? And here you invite all of these people. There are 300-400 people over here, and like no one's drunk. Okay, you'll always have one or two mishagayim, but ruba deruba, everyone is behaving themselves. they're shocked. It's a Kiddush Hashem. It's because we are trained that basically it really touches exactly upon this halach of anis sefilah silasi yidal. The mincha kodem mukriyas haTorah imi avanis lasi vehu al pi mashu darshu rabbeinu zchon l'racha. The pasuk in the pasuk, this is David Melch Tillim, yosichu bi yoshve shar. David here is complaining that people, my enemies, David had a lot of enemies, and my enemies, they're speaking badly about me. They're sitting at the bar. They're speaking evil, they're saying bad things. I've sinned with Bathsheba, I've done terrible things. Yosichu bi yoshve shar. People who sit at the gate of the city say evil things. Uniginois shayse shechar. And they drink. People, they drink a lot of wine. Shayse shechar. People who drink intoxicating beverage begin to sing songs. Sing 99 bottles of beer. Right? They start singing songs. Uchsiv acharav, and David says, "Vani, I'm not like those drunkards who sing 99 bottles of beer on the wall. Vani, after I have a good meal and have some good liquor, I come back to the Beis HaKnesses and I daven mincha. Vani sefilasi l'cho Hashem Yisratzon. Amar David v'nekel l'shbaruch hu yibonu shalaylam. Ein umazo." David here is personifying Klal Yisrael. This nation is not like Kesha umas oylam. When they drink and they become intoxicated, what do? Holchin upochazin. Now, pochazin means they do terrible things. I don't have a good translation, whatever, but it doesn't mean good things. It means they get drunk. And that's it. They call it a day.
Rowdy.
They become rowdy, right? They become rowdy. Whatever you want to interpret into this word, I leave it to your imagination. It does not end well. When they go to a bar, it does not end well. When we say on Shabbos, now you have a very powerful Yisrael. I never knew this, and I saw this kid, so I always thought it meant something else. Why we say it? I'll tell you what, I'm sure I saw it somewhere else, but he's telling us a whole different the approach. It's a beautiful pasuk. When we're saying, V'anis, Sefilah, Siluch, Hashem, Esrat, and according to the kids, sir, it is a statement. Look what I've done today. I had a good meal. I made Kiddush al Hayayin. And yet, look at me. Look at us, at Klal Yisrael. We're back here in Shul. We've come back to the Beis HaKnesses to hear Kriyas HaTorah, to listen to the words of Torah. We're not like the Umas HaOlam after they go to a bar. They're stoned. They're gone for the day. This should be a limud zechus for Klal Yisrael. We're back here in the Beis HaKnesses to hear words of Torah after a good meal. V'anu loikein ela afal pi. Unbelievable stuff. This is amazing stuff. Sheshosinu. We have drunk wine. We have had a good meal. Nevertheless, we're back here in the Beis HaKnesses to hear the Torah. Vanis sefilosi l'cha Hashem shabi. Now, our tefillah is to you, Hashem, and may this be a zuchus, a limud zuchus, and may it be for Klal Yisrael an eis rotzon, the difference between the umos ha'olam and Klal Yisrael. U'lechein, therefore, oimo so lefnei kriyas ha'Torah, l'hoidois li'yitzrein, to give praise to our God. Sh'loi som chelkein u'kohem, we're not like the umos ha'olam, ve'afilu harekim shabanu, even the simplest among us, boyim l'shmoy ha'Torah, we come to the Beis HaKnesses to hear the Torah, which we lane Shabbos Mincha. It used to be Shabbos Mincha was not just learning Torah, they also lane the Haftorah. They lane from Ksuvim. They lane Eif. Whatever, they lane from the Sifrei Ksuvim. We don't do that today because we got a little bit out of hand, and instead the Rabbanim were darshan between Mincha and Maariv, or before Mincha, but we come to the Beis HaKnesses to hear Torah. We don't learn the Torah on Yom Tov from Mincha. We don't say it because we're not. It was meant to be said before we lane. When you lane, you're listening to the words of Torah even after we had a party. Avol b'Shabbes, Avol b'Yishei. Now he says something very important, being that it was a part of the Nusach HaTfila. What happens if Chas v'Shalom on Shabbos you don't have a Sefer Torah? Okay, this is a very important halach. Let's say some people make a mistake, believe it's based on what we just said. Vanis filosi was only said because there's a sefer Torah. So what happens if you go to a minyan where you don't have, unfortunately, there is no sefer Torah for mincha? Okay, it can happen. Okay, let's say you're out of town somewhere and you don't have mincha. So do you say vanis filosi by Shabbos mincha without a sefer Torah? Yes, it's still part of the nusach tefillah. Al Shabbos al pishen sefer Torah likres mikol mokum oimoy. So you say it. When do you say it? So here is a very important halacha. Should never happen, but if you're going to say it, you say it before. What do we normally do? Try to think what we do. We say Asher Volitzion, and after Asher Volitzion, we say Yagdil Torah V'Yadir Yiskadal V'Yiskadash. We go around the Chatzi Kaddish. After Chatzi Kaddish, Vani Sefilosi Lucha Hashem Yisratzoyin, Vayihi Bin Tzoa, we take the Sefer Torah, we read the Sefer Torah, and then we put the Sefer Torah back, and Nochamol, another Chatzi Kaddish. The reason why we have a double Chatzi Kaddish, every time you mafsik between one section and another section, you are required to have a Chatzi Kaddish. That's the structure of Tefillah. But if you don't have a Sefer Torah, for example, let's say Yom Tov, let's say it's Yom Tov, Mincha, or let's say during weekday mincha, Ashrei, there's no Kriya Satara, Chatzi Kaddish. There's only one Chatzi Kaddish. But being that it's Shabbos, we are going to say Vani Sefilosi Lucha Hashem Yisratzon. When should we say Vani Sefilosi? Should we say before Hashem Sefosai Tiftach? Or should we say it before Chatzi Kaddish? So here he's telling us, if you don't have a Sefer Torah, you should say it after. V'yivtchu v'chol yudei shmecha, ki lo yazav doshecha, Hashem Hashem chafei tzman, tzidkho yagdil Torah v'yadir, Vani sefilosi lecha Hashem Yisratzon lekim brev chasecha aneni b'mes yishecha yiskadal v'yiskadash shnei rava. That's what he says to do when you don't have a sefer Torah. So it should not be a hefzik, because right after the Chatzi Kaddish is over, you want to go right into Shmoneh Esrei. V'oimos kol zeh oz kol Chatzi Kaddish b'kedesh shloy lahavzik bein a kaddish l'tzilas Shmoneh Esrei. Okay, look at the bottom. Halacha ches oim mechani tzilasi. Ayin mechamish mamaros, ma'am nusach atfila ois chaf aleph. I'm not sure exactly who's the mechaber of that sefer. The biyom kippurim shechal b'shabbes kam kein ein loymar on Yom Kippur shechali ois b'shabbes. You don't say vani sefilosi. K'mashakos b'tur shulchan aruch. V'ayin shom b'tur izof. Hatam v'agam d'das mukabolim shesach loymar gam oz vani sefilosi. Bikol makom onu yoytzim b'mas shomim oz b'psicha saron yud gimel mid. The problem is that's only true. You don't say you're gilmidus rachamim. Shabbos mincha. By mincha. So I'm not sure what this means. We say the yud gilmidus rachamim by shachris on Yom Kippur. Right, after Yoina, when you lay in Parshas Achrimos by Mincha, when you take out the Sefer Torah, we don't say the Yud Gimel the Sarachim. We don't do it. We only say the Yud Gimel Sarachim in the morning by Shachris, right? By Shachris, and do we say it on Shabbos? Yom Kippur Shabbos. We don't even say it on Shabbos. Even Shabbos, we don't say it in the morning. So I'm not exactly.
You say Vanila.
What? Vanila, you say Avinu Malkeinu. But the Yud Gimel Nida Sarachim, and when you take out the Sefer Torah, I don't believe you say it on Yom Kippur Shechal Yisrael Shabbos. What? You do say it. On Yom Kippur you say it. You say part of the Slichas. You say it in the Slichas. So you say by when you take out the Sefer Torah. Okay, so different minhagim. But he's saying over here something very bizarre. He's saying over here that when you take out the Sefer Torah, by Mincha, you say it even then. And when you say, if you notice at the end of the Siddur, you look at the Siddur, at the end of saying the Ribbono Shel Olam, it says Vani Sefilosi Lucha Hashem Yisratzon. It says, and it's part of at least some of the schos. So since you're going to say it there, Mimeli Chaperayin saying it at least at some part during the day, but it's not clear because we don't always say it. So I'm not exactly sure what he means. Interesting. He says you don't say it on Shabbos Yom Kippur, and. Okay, by the way, there's another reason why we do say it. Another reason he doesn't bring this down, I'm surprised he doesn't bring this down, is because Shabbos Mincha, from all the days of the week, the time, Derech Klal, when is a time that's Mesugal for Tefillah, where Hashem is receptive to answer our Tefillos? It is Mincha. We learn from Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi was answered at the time of Mincha, when he was Mekadesh Shem Shemaim, by bringing together the Nevi HaBaal, and showing that they are wrong, and doing the miracle of the fire coming down and consuming this carbon that took place in the afternoon. From here we learn that Mincha is the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is receptive to hear our tefillos. Now that's which Mincha? Well, every Mincha. But from all the Minochos, Shabbos is the best. So Shabbos Mincha, from all of the tefillos during the week, is the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the most receptive to hearing our tefillos. And certainly when you combine that with the Zechus of Torah, Mincha plus the Zechus of Torah, it's a home run. It's a home run out of the ballpark. And that's why before you take out the Sefer Torah, you say, Va'ani sefilosi locha shemei sratzon elokim rev chastecha. And the Mepharshim tell a person should be mechavin with a lot of kavana. At that moment in time when they open up the Aron Shabbos Mincha, it's a time when the heavens are open and you can ask for whatever you want. You're gonna get you have a Pesach, an opening to getting whatever you want, and in fact that's what the custom is. You put on a talis, and they don't own this nusach svart. This Pesach Shabbos, the mother's yortzeit, sadav mincha in the shtibel, and that's what the rabbi told me to do. He told me I came up with sadav mincha, and he says you put on the talis. I knew anyway, but he just reminded me because many shuls don't do this. They put on the talis. And Nusach Ashkenaz doesn't know from this. They put on the talis for Ashrei. But even Nusach Svar, not all shuls do this. And the Shtibluch, they know this. You put on the talis after Chatzi Kaddish. When you say, as you're saying, Va'ani Sefilo Siluch Hashem, you put on the talis. Why? Because since this is the moment, this is the big moment, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to listen to the tefillah, we combine it with a talis, because the talis is the tzura of tefillah. When Moshe Rabbeinu went to be mispalled for Klal Yisrael after the Chedor Egel, it says in the Gemara, Hashem was nis'atef with a talis like a shliach tzibur, and taught Moshe Rabbeinu the Seder HaTzfilah. Part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaching Moshe Rabbeinu how to daven was HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavayachal dressed himself in a talis. It is the tzura of tzfilah, to be nesatif in a talis. So since this is the big moment of tzfilah, Shabbos Mincha, and we get to say Vanis Tzfilah Si, now is the time when we are imitating HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we are nesatif kitalis, like a shliach tzibur. It's heavy duty stuff. It's heavy, so it's not a simple matter. The kitzur here says something entirely different. He's not talking about it's an eistratzon, nesatef shliach tzibur. He's just talking about this idea. Look what's been going on. Today we've been merry. We've been drinking and eating and been merry. And yet we come back to the Beis HaKnesses to hear words of Torah. Look at the zuchus that says for Klal Yisrael. L'cha Hashem eis rotzon. May it be a time of favor for Klal Yisrael. We're not like the Umas HaOlam, which are hochim upoichazin. And with that we will stop.